Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of hours, and I want to get his opinion about
what does it take? Does it mean they have to walk around with books in their hands, or can they basically be in their own studies? Or should they be in a study at all? Or should they be debating with some other black men about conscious information? Now I'm going to put him on the line, and he comes to us, Mr. Terry. He is from the west side of town. Mr. Terry lives in this community. I see him working periodically, putting the hours in. He's a hard-working man. And we're going to lift his spirit today by letting him know that God has made no mistake. He still needs man, and he's still on the throne making decisions for each and every one of us. I'm going to see if I can get him on the line here to tell us a little bit about what it means to have work and what work does to a black man and how does it build his consciousness. Hold tight.
Hello. My name is Dovon King. I don't know how to really, start this conversation or whatever, but anyway, I did like 26 years in prison. I've been out like 7 years now. I've been trying to like get work, trying to do the right thing, which I am still doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? But it's kind of hard. People don't want to give me a job. So I like work around the neighborhood. I work on houses. You know what I'm saying? People. You know, I know how to do all that type of stuff. But if you can pray for me, I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe in God. I know God, Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that's all I got to speak.
Well, thank you, Mr. Terry. I really, really like the testimony. And people, I know you can hear that this is a man that really wants to work, and he wants to put his time in, and he wants to pay back to society what he owes them. Now, a lot of black men, they are not concerned about work, but this is one that really, really wants to work and wants to have an opportunity to put his time in. And I really have noticed his work ethic, and work ethic means a lot for black men, because if they can work, they can turn their lives around. This is a man that every time I see him, he's talking about going to work. And I know he has good work ethic, and we're going to do something to give this young man an opportunity to get on the right track. He's been away for a while. He gave his debt to society. They all have been torn, so we can go boldly before the throne of Christ and make our petitions known. And he's made a petition to you guys, pray for him, that doors will be open so he will have an opportunity to go out and live. And I know that there's work out there for him. I perceive that work, and we actually perceive that that work is there. Now, Mr. Terry has been a rightfully guided young man, a Protestant, and we are going to see to it that every chance we get, we touch his life to make his life stay on the path. Now, sometimes we fall off the path, and sometimes things don't always come easy for us, but we don't condemn the man. We don't condemn the man, but we condemn the sin. So we know that sin is besetting all of us. But we are just not. There is something divine in that man. No, I see it. There's something divine in all of us. And divineness didn't come because we worked so hard or any of us labored hard. We were given that at death. God put his divinity in us. And divinity was upon our head. But what crushed us? What made us think that we were filthy as rags? What made us think that our heart was desperately wicked? But some men told us, but one man said, we are going to accept. As long as we confess our sins, God is able to cleanse us of all of us, and we can get back on the path to the divine. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Terry, what does he feel about the term divine? Where can he find God? And when he goes to God, does he look within himself? Hold tight.
I find God within myself. I always believe, you know what I'm saying, that he's always there. I knew that, you know what I'm saying, his son died for my sins. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean like be talking to you like this, but that's the truth, you know what I'm saying? But God is in me. I believe in him, saying I wouldn't have died for him. I'm not gonna put no what they say, like they talking about people putting them things on you and stuff like that. Man, I'm not finna do that. Man, I don't want that happening. You know what I'm saying? I believe in God. I help everybody, I swear. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta give me nothing. You know what I'm saying? But just like when I had seen y'all that day. You know what I'm saying? Man, just so happened God told me to come out. I promise you. And I'm like, hey, I was getting ready to walk away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, how you doing?
What about
the goodness in me? Everything is good in me. If I get you right. You know what I'm saying? Me serving God, you know what I'm saying? That's number one. But I be falling short. You know what I'm saying? I fall short. But you know what? I promise you, I always recognize when I'm like, no, I can't keep making mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to dance to you. You know? But he know the good in my heart. You know what I'm saying? What I do. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's not it.
So Mr. Terry is speaking from his heart, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a rightly guided young man who's on a straight path of the narrow. Now, we can't wait for some God out of the sky to come and condemn us. Sometimes our very own and we've been coded innately to do the right thing because there's something divine in us that will cause us and prompt us to do the right thing. We don't need a book. Matter of fact, we didn't come here with a book strapped to our butt. We didn't come here with no instruction guide. It was innately put in us to be a righteous and a rightly guided vision. And Mr. Terry knows that, and he is seeking direction for his life. He down that path. Now, sometimes we think because of what we don't stand, it makes us a better man or woman. But material things have gotten us away, and these material things have caused us to have to go out and fight big and bad for things to make us feel justified. We are rightfully justified in Christ, whether we don't ever have to. And remember, Christ is not our name. It is our attitude. It is a characteristic. It is a behavior. Christ-like manner. And the Christ-like manner is what we're looking for. Now, Mr. Terry wants to tell us a little bit more about what it is that this Christ-like walk is that he's supposed to conduct us with.
Well, the Christ-like walk to me personally is that I have to, you know what I'm saying, okay, try to open my eyes, appreciate, and know that he is a God, and thank me for that day. And then I try to make the best out of that day, you know what I'm saying, it's something positive, try to help somebody, you know what I'm saying, and then try to help myself at the same time. Because I'm going through it a whole lot as far as demons and everything in my head. You know, I did 26 years in prison. I was 17 and got out when I was 43. I've been out like 7 years now. I've been good. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do the right. Trying to work. It's net. But as far as Christ is concerned, that's my Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. I do know that it's not easy, and I really can't know that it's not easy. But I know it's not easy when you get out of prison, when you're faced with people making you pay off the prison for debt you've already paid for. The doors need to be open to men who don't do hair across the smile. The doors. Now, I'm going to let Mr. Terry change what God says.
Let me see everybody. I know God is real. But not just that, though. I always believe in God. You know what I'm saying? But he let me, you know what I'm saying? I was 17 years old. I was in a man's prison. You know what I'm saying? If I had a 40-foot wall. You know what I'm saying? He let me do 26 years. Didn't let nothing happen to me. But he let me see all the wrong that was in there. I promise you, let me see people get burnt up in cells, people get killed over a cat. Terrible. I can't believe it. But anyway, but he never let nothing happen to me. And I was always friends. Everybody wanted to, like, make kind of, I don't want to say that word, but, yeah. But, you know what I'm saying? So I would play cards with them and everything because everybody, you know what I'm saying, because they would, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I was always cool.
Okay. Well, we want to thank Mr. Terry. Mr. Terry, I'm going to actually come back. We're laughing in the studio. But I'm going to ask Mr. Terry. Mr. Terry, I want you to come back. So, we're going to let him have the last 5 minutes here before he leaves out of our studio. Of some words of encouragement that can give some young man to come more into life.
Well, what I can tell y'all is this, the best thing you can do, you know what I'm saying, always read something, whether it's a newspaper. Well, you know what I'm saying? Then read about your history. You know what I'm saying? Black history. Read about your history. You know what I'm saying? Where you come from. You know what I'm saying? And where you trying to go. You know what I'm saying? Then you know what I'm saying? Make you a better person. You know what I'm saying? Open your mind up. Because we ain't doing nothing. All we doing now is killing ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We around here, you know what I'm saying, thinking we know all this and all that. You know what I'm saying? With big fancy cars and stuff like that. I'm saying, that ain't nothing but the devil. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? Because you ain't praising him. I'm saying, that's why I'm walking right now. I promise you. I've been out 7 years now. I swear, I'm the type of dude, I promise you, I'm flat. And I ain't even lying, you know what I'm saying? I ain't talking about, you know what I'm saying, for real. I supposed to be in the, like a Cadillac or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm real though, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be red, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. But on the real though, man, y'all need to, like, wake up, you know what I'm saying, stop killing each other, you know what I'm saying, and, you know what I'm saying, love one another, you know what I'm saying, because we all we got. You only gonna die one time. And when you're gone, you're gone. You know what I'm saying, where you going, though, after that? So you better, like, try to die, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, all these sins. I love y'all. Whoever hear my voice. And I hope to see y'all. Y'all know me when y'all see me too. I promise you. Yeah, they gon' main right there. Yeah. Y'all take it easy. I love y'all. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Devon Main Terry. And I thank you for having him on our show today to tell us a little bit about what it means to have an image. And I'm gonna have him come back up here and see you later on today because I got something to tell him. I got something to tell you, so I want you to come back, okay? Make sure you do that, because I got something to tell you, because he's going to fix you a good job. Now, Maine has been a hard-working man. We've been watching. And I definitely say this much. I can see the divine in him. And he talked to me a little bit about books and about reading. Now, I want to get back on that subject, and we thank him so much for coming in our studio and pouring out his heart to you. He did 27 years in the penitentiary. But those 27 years were not hard years. But he did learn his lesson when he came out, and God protected him through it all. He read books and material to keep himself strong and his mind strong. But you notice he said he still hears those voices inside of him and those demons that still continue to plague him. And we know that we all have demons, even if we've never been accepted. But we are rightly guided with our right mind. He stops by here periodically at my studio to get a little encouragement. And I'm so glad he stopped by because I have a little encouragement for him to let him know that we've been watching him. And he's on a straight and narrow. He is all about clearing up his intellectual image and making himself a better man. And a lot of you know that I preach on making better men. And I think that if we made our black men into intellectual, conscious men, then we can look for the beauty and the grace within them of them being intellectually connected to material, not what they look like, not the kind of money they got in their pockets or banking, but about their intellect, whether or not they read, do they know their history, are they intellectually inclined? And if they are, we know that they can come up with a plan for themselves. But we've got to talk to these men about being intellectually connected. And that's the beauty I see in men. I don't care what they look like. They may be bald-headed, toothless, shoe-footed, and smooth-footed at the same time. But if they got an intellect and they could take me somewhere and have something to tell me, I wouldn't say that. Now, women, stop going out here looking for these men that don't have anything to talk about. Find the ones that are intellectually connected. And if they're not, give them a book. You know, I used to always say, have you read the book? And I want to say that again. That's a poem I wrote. Have you read the book, The Hosea? Have you read the book, The Hosea Today? Have you read every word that it has to say? I mean, not from a prophet, not from a preacher, but have you sat down from the letter? Now, the letter is a form of the word God. So men are now picking up books like The Hosea. They're picking up not only The Hosea, they're picking up the Metanetra 1 and 2, and those are their Bibles. And they're not just studying from the Biblical book of the Bible. We have to cross-reference and read material from all sources. And we know the Bible is a newcomer. At least the King James is. It's important for us to guide out the sources of literary excellent material that they can read and use as a manual for their life. Why is it necessary that you have the Bible to guide you? If you just sit with yourself in meditation, you can become intellectually inspired through reading as well as allow yourself to meditate on that word. Now, don't just take it from the King James Version or New International. Get the Holy Tablets. And not only the Holy Tablets, go out and get the Hosea and Hebrew Honey, King Concordia, the Strong Concordia. But you have to be intellectually inclined. I am a heretic. I am ruled by. So therefore, I'm going to challenge you with your intellect. And black men, I'm challenging you with your intellect today. Go out and get a study group together. And you start finding information that you can debate with. Now, I don't know if any of you listen to the YouTube or the YouTube channel, but Sonetta channel has it set up for black men to set up their own program in debating over issues over various different denominations and religious and belief systems. Those are the things that you need to look at. Should we put religion on trial? If you had to bring religion to the courtroom, how many of us Hebrew men would want to come out and intellectually debate another person like Brother Delight, who's coming out from teaching from the new Wabians, and debating him and his concept of polygamy. How many of you want to go out and debate Sonetta, where he gives you a concept to give religion back, as to denote that religion was not something that we were sent here as a directive guidance for? He's also telling you in so many words that to examine all religion, and to realize that religion is what put us in a bind. We didn't tell you to now examine God. Is God this person on the outside in the sky, or is he within you? And is that divine of you called God? And if so, explore it by reading, getting yourself conscious about where God came from, and are you God? And if so, quit looking in the sky and looking below you for something to come from. Now, not only Sonetta and Brother Polite, Brother Black Dot, I listen to all these young guys, and they educate me. They brought a lot of things to my church. I listen to Dr. Umar Johnson, who I love so well, with his whole concept on education and how he wants us to really look at our black boys, and he explains to us why the education system is now shutting down the schools. Because there's no more labor jobs, no more reason to have to train students to become labor workers, and therefore now they're shutting our schools down. Teaching about starting a school somewhere. I want him to know that Gary is still on the map. Please come and look at Gary, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson. Come and look at Gary. There's a lot of us here, scholars, who could assist you and help you. This used to be the number one town for excellent curriculum, and it still could be. With your help, if you come here and help us lift our brothers and sisters out of the state, our schools are closing more frequently. One of our top schools, Roosevelt, was taken for us from the privatization. So, Brother Umar, if you're listening out there, don't forget that we still would like to have a school that is focused in on our black boys and our black girls. And as you know, Brother Dr. Umar, I did my thesis and research on the effects that females have on black males coupled with their culture. So let's talk some. But there's other brothers out there who are doing a fantastic job on talking about our consciousness and how we need to come out of religion and talking about how we got to shut down the churches and bring consciousness to the church, to teach about literary writers and to introduce all of our scholars, white and black. Do you know that there's some black, there's some white conscious scholars out there that need to be introduced? And Brother Sarnetta told us about that. And Brother Shaka told us about all of those scholars who might not be black but need to be introduced because they have a conscious black message to tell us about who we are. So it's important for us to read all books from different scholars who are not white supremacists, who are working towards bettering black people's consciousness and knowledge of themselves. A knowledge of yourself will lead you. You cannot read the Bible without knowing your history. So why do I say intellectual images? You must become intellectually inclined. Because in order for a woman to gravitate to you, she's looking for that divine in you, that intellect in you. And you just can't create an image for yourself that won't stand. Your image has to precede you. If you are a book lover and a reader, it will show. You don't have to go walking around with books in your hand all day. But you do have to, every once in a while, regurgitate a few sections in your bibliography and cite a few great authors. Now, it's very important that you understand I can't have a book background, and that's what this show used to be about. And it's only natural I'm going to talk to you about intellectual things. So, black men, we're focused on you today. What can we do to help you be more intellectually inclined so that women can fall in love with you again over your interest? What can we do to bring you into a study group where we bring you off the streets and say, hey, have you read a book today? And bring you in to understand the Husia one, as also the Book of the Dead and the various different books that we can claim as our manuals and guides. And our guys, not only just the Bible, that's the one-man perspective. Now let's look at some other authors' perspective and see how we can become more intellectually inclined. Now I'm talking about people who want to read material. Every community should have having an organization, a Saturday school, and ASCAP has one, and a whole program put together on Saturday, and you can read your books. And you can have discussions, you can have debate, and I'd like to see more black men in debate to sharpen their tools. Only I can sharpen iron. Set up a debate team where you bring information out and you can be videotaped to go on YouTube. And then literally you can debate these issues over the concepts of the Bible and religion. And then you can come up with some newfound information. And women, don't be afraid to come and rally these men. Because they're looking for the support from the women. They're looking for the support for the women to help put this together. Now, we know that our president is getting ready to transition out of office. And look at who we are talking about bringing in. That's right, Hillary, a woman. Women, you need to get on your job. Because I'm on my job. Because when Hillary come in, we need to already have things in place where we are going to run things in our community, and we're going to do it in duality with our black male. And we're going to bring him in right alongside us. Our black men, now here's the great aspect. Our black men do not have to suffer and struggle because they don't have jobs anymore. Women, we can create those jobs for our men in the literacy field by passing out material, getting literary groups involved, showing them how important it is to be literary correct and being able to read and comprehend. Being an intellect does not mean you walk around like a fool all day quoting sites and scriptures. It means engaging yourself in intellectual, scholarly competition and discussion. As we know, Dr. Umar is an intellect. He is an intellect, in my opinion, as well as a ghetto intellect, because he can get down with the conversation of the hood. So we don't have to always be intellectually with $50 words. We can also go into the community and speak the language of our people. And in speaking the language of our people, that means we can aspire in any setting, even in the hood as well as in the intellectual setting. But it's very, very vital that black men know how important it is to now become intellectual, because more than ever before, you're going to have to prove yourself and your capability of being on top. Don't just think you can be on top because you're a black male. You're going to have to aspire, you're going to have to study, and you're going to have to debate, and you're going to have to be consciously informed about religious and about threat. And we are now challenging religious. We are no longer tied community and the struggles that we're going through. What good is it to have a religion if we're still struggling in our community and we still don't own anything and we still don't have black community centers so we can meet on one accord to talk amongst ourselves? That is what we have to strive to get. Our parent information center, our community center, then we can bring good literature to that community, we can bring material to that community, and we can disseminate that material to our young brothers, making sure that they're exercising their ability to engage themselves in reading good literary material. That is our problem. We have had schools that are focused in on infusion of African material, and we've gotten rid of our scholarly people like Dr. Masasa Alese, who came into communities like Gary, Indiana, to information into our school system about conscious African-American history. We let that go. We stopped teaching the teachers about how to infuse those black conscious or black material into the school about African-Americans. That was the heart of our curriculum. We should get that back, African-Americans, Gary Community School, and incorporate that back into the school curriculum. Because once a person knows about himself, take it from Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu when he said that his curriculum will teach self-esteem, and that self-esteem will allow that child to advance themselves to loving themselves and feeling good about themselves. When a person doesn't feel good about themselves, they sure in heck cannot perform well on I-STEP tests, perform well on SBNA test, California Achievement test. They can perform well when they know who they are and feel good about themselves. Now, we're talking about intellect. Where do you get it from? How do you find intellect? And what does an intellectual person do when he needs to have material? You go to the library. You research online. Our computers have really changed the game for research. You can do so much research and gathering of material online. Now, I suggest that we go out and get that material, and we go out and find how we can better ourselves, because right now we are facing a situation where a lot of our schools are going to become extinct. And homeschoolers, please get a hold of me and let me know that you want to homeschool. I am training now Montessori teachers to bring Montessori in the home from early childhood development all the way to third grade and then to middle school. Yes, you can get your credentials for early childhood from birth to 3 or birth to 6 in 4 months of training through a correspondence program that I am now sponsoring for Montessori in the home. I don't recommend anything else because you can start your own independent private school through Montessori training. There's also a director's license, a 5-week training that I do that train you to become a director of a child care center in 5 days. Of course, it costs you money. There is financial aid, and they're talking about literary consciousness, not only for the male, but we will be talking about the consciousness for women next. Stay tuned, and thank you so much for joining me here today, because we've been talking to Lane Devon Terry, who actually gave you a little bit about his life and how he's still looking for the divine within him. As a black man, he's going to become a consciously intellectual person where he's going to get his hands on more books. And he came by to tell us today to keep your head up, because if he could do 27 years and come out and still striving to do the right thing, you can do the same thing. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop our young black men, our conscious men, and tell them how proud we are of them, and charge them to a debate, and let them sharpen their tools by going back and forth through their research and material that they gather. Now, we're talking intellect today. We want all of our people to become intellect, the men, but the women too. Read a book today. Pick up a book. Find some conscious material. The damage that our education system has done on us, we have to re-educate ourselves because some of them have miseducated us in schools. But we're not worried about that because we're going to create our own home school, like Dr. Umar said, our own home school, and we're going to grow up our community. And every village must grow up a school, not just one school where everybody's flocked there, but every community, north side, east side, west side, to be blocking up a home school and developing that home school so that it is a conscious-minded school that will teach literary information that we need to know about our ancestors. Now, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back at you tomorrow around this time talking to you about what we can do to be better intellectual, find intellectual material. And where is it hidden at? Don't tell me that everything you hide is in a book. We're not afraid of picking up a book to read. We're intellects. And black men, you were born an intellect. You wrote the first script of hieroglyphics into the graphics of Egyptology. You were the first man to make the alphabet, to write the alphabet. And the Hebrews are still arguing about whether or not they were the first. No, it was the Egyptians. The Hebrew learned from the Egyptians. And don't be afraid that they said, don't let the Egyptians teach you. That's a lie. Go on and tell them that we civilized the world. We civilized the Hebrew. We gave reasoning to the Greeks. We are the first literary people. And we are to become literary practitioners, and there should be no excuse. We can get this job done for our black brothers. Because now that we're coming into rulership, in a feminine situation with our next president, our women can stand beside their black men side by side, bringing them up to par, the intellectual powerhouses, just like the women are. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back at you today. We'll be back at you tomorrow, rather, talking to you about how you can better your literary position. And black men, I don't care if you've been off the prison. Come back and show your intellectual keynote ability by lecturing. Some of you ought to be lecturing more, conversing more, using your skills that you have to debate over issues over the Bible. And how do you take this Bible? Do you take it abruptly? Are you enchantedly mesmerized with it? But you got to decipher it. And some of the things in there, the page sharers that are written, I'm not often written to you, and you got to take it as not at face value, but you got to sit down and realize that religious ties us to something. But we were coded innately with the religious on the inside of us, and each one of us are divine. There is something divine in you and I, and we must find that divinity, and we must put divinity back on our heads again. And don't ever let anyone tell us that we were putrefied in our own ways, and that we're desperately wicked, and our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? We are divine, divinely made, and we have capabilities of living a divine life if we just sit with ourselves and study ourselves and let the God in us speak to us, then we will know exactly what to do. There's nothing coming out of the sky for you and I. There's no God of Jesus coming back to us. He has made his transition, and we are now here trusting the Godhead forward in you and I. And the reason we go through issues and situations is to press God forward. God only shows up in us when we're going through situations. Now press that Godhead forward and allow yourself to see the God within you. There is something divine in you. Thank you so very much. And we say Madasi. Madasi. Thank you, Madasi, 1,000 times. To you, your oracle reading from Omega 7 and Shrine. Thank you so much, and stay tuned. We'll be back at you soon.